Special guest
Tim.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Hello everyone and welcome to another edition of the Power Motion Picnic Hour. As always, I'm your host Dave, and as always alongside me is
Trevor.
Trevor, what's going on? How are you?
Well, I'm doing all right, Dave.
Yeah, me too. it's good to be here on pod, away from everything else that's going on.
Yeah, things might change around us, but the podcast studio remains the same.
Exactly.
It's a safe place to gather.
Yep, it's a universal constant. You could set your watch by it or use it to help you with your favorite physics equation.
Yep, gather around the blue podcasting microphone, throw the podcast on at your time of choice, you know, whatever you need to do.
I appreciate that stability. And at the same time, I enjoy the unpredictability and the way we constantly introduce new segments like the one I'm about to introduce, which is a first time correction. And I'm going to make a correction for something that hasn't even happened in the podcast yet. But in this episode of the podcast and our upcoming interview with popular runner Tim Ball, back. Great to have him back on the pod for the first time since season 2, episode 11. Great to have him here in season 4, but I'm going to make a correction that I reference a Phil Lesh and Friends show that you and I went to July 4th, 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And that show actually took place on July 2nd, 2006.
Ah, okay. That's a good correction.
Yeah. Trying to get ahead of the story.
I have nothing to correct about anything I said or am about to say on the interview.
Yeah,
I stand by it.
Stand
by my math. I stand by my Grateful Dead references. Come and get me, fact checkers.
Exactly. You might have had a perfect game. You were like Dennis Martinez out there. This is the first perfect game I remember.
Yeah.
Major League Baseball. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one. But yeah, so great talk with special guest and popular runner Tim Ball. New Jersey Gatorade cross country runner of the year, circa, I don't know, 2003, maybe. But an accomplished runner, on his way towards doing all the majors, friend of the pod, and, just really nice to catch up with him again.
Yeah. Good friend of the pod. We had him on last year talking about when he ran Boston. And so now perfect to have him on here today talking about New York, which was just 3 days ago.
Just 3 days ago, which you also ran.
I ran it as well. I don't think it's crazy to say it was the best day of my life. maybe that's still people ask me, you still got the high, the post-marathon high? I'm like, oh, I don't know. It was just the most fun thing I've ever done in my entire life. But yeah, no, really, really an amazing experience and a fun interview with Tim as our listeners are about to find out. We just got right into it. The second the blue microphones turned on, we just started talking marathon, just talking Sunday.
Talking marathon, talking running. It was really nice. Enjoyed our conversation.
Yeah, that was so fun. I could talk for that long and probably 10 times longer, but at the risk of adding any other new accidental segments that nobody asked for, maybe we should go to that talk right now and we could hear from Tim and what it's like closer to the front of the pack at the New York Marathon.
Yeah, and then we'll come back with some other content.
All right, let's do it.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
I'm not that sore, but I ran it a lot easier than you.
That's good. It's good.
I mean, I'm kind of sore. I'm not sure how I'm not sure how sore I should be.
Oh, true. Yeah. No, I think it's probably good not to be too sore. It depends what you're going for.
So we're let's see. This is what's today. 3 days. This is the third day after the New York Marathon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I see you're wearing a New York Marathon shirt. Very nice.
Yep. I was gonna buy one of those jackets, but they didn't have my size.
Really?
And then we had larges, which I probably would work, but save some money.
Yeah, it works out. There'll be other jackets.
Yeah, too many jackets.
Which one were you gonna get? Were you gonna get the mint colored one or like the darker one?
So there's the mint one, and then I think there's a finisher jacket, which was like a teal blue, but that sold out by the time I got over there as well.
Damn it.
Yeah. Because I got the one from Boston, and my plan was to get a jacket for each major, but then I'd have too many jackets. So I figured just get a t-shirt, wear it at the gym for all the treadmill running.
That's right. It's easy on the D's. Did you hear they just added a seventh major?
Oh, right. Yep. The Sydney, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were inspecting the course, at least like the Sydney Marathon as it stands now, and it's very crazy. Like very do some loops around, and it's like very hilly. I'd say it's like pretty similar to like the Boston hill profile if they keep the course the same.
Yeah, the thing I saw said it had even more vertical, because I think Boston and well, you've run both, but I think Boston and New York have similar vertical.
Oh, okay, wow, yeah.
I think they're both like 800 something, and I thought I saw that Sydney was like 12.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Messed up.
Yeah. Are you gonna run it?
I don't know. Because the flight to Tokyo is already so expensive. Now I need to take a flight down to Australia. So it's adding up.
Yeah, it's true.
But you know what we do for running world majors, I guess.
Tokyo's nice and flat, I think. I did fly there once and I don't think I ran at all.
Oh man. Yeah, I think that is a flat course. Like that, Berlin, London, and Chicago are all very comparable, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder how people who finished all the first six and now there's just a seventh introduced, how they're feeling right now.
I know, having to like come out of retirement, you know, is it worth it?
Is it worth it? Some are probably excited. All right, I got another one I can do, but other people are, you know, no longer say they ran all the majors.
Yeah, they probably feel like Danny Glover in Lethal Weapon, which I've never seen, but I think that's the plot. It's like his last day, or right, he's supposed to retire or something.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, it does sound like that.
Tim, have you seen Lethal Weapon?
No, I'm looking it up now. It looks good. Mel Gibson plays it. Yeah, with Danny Glover.
I'm realizing maybe none of us have seen Lethal Weapon.
I feel like I might not have seen it.
Not to be confused by Donald Glover.
No.
Danny Glover, he seems to be pretty famous. Yeah, he's in Predator 2. Angels in the Outfield. Wow. Saul.
I've never seen any of these films.
The Color Purple.
I never saw that. I don't think I've seen a Danny Glover film. And he had a, there was a period, you know?
He's in a lot of movies.
He was big. There was a time when Danny Glover and John Lovitz were the two biggest actors in America. And if you told kids that now, they'd be like, what are you talking about?
Is that actually true? I don't know. I don't know if John Lovitz
is in The Rainmaker.
I didn't see that.
Some hits.
I remember I remember all these films. Yeah.
But does
he run? That's the real question.
Has he run the New York City Marathon? We have to do some research.
Yeah. Well, we should say congratulations on your finish in the New York City Marathon.
Thank you.
Yeah. What was your time?
2 hours, 47 and 58 seconds officially.
That's awesome.
So just snuck under 2:48. I'll tell you though, those last 6 miles were a battle.
Yeah.
I fell off pace big time, as they say. I hit that wall.
When did it start? Did it start up in the Bronx or after you got back into Manhattan?
I'd say, yeah, I really felt it getting back into Manhattan. I'm trying to see which mile. I'm looking at the like my Strava, which I don't know if those like are accurate splits or not, because I'm going by Strava though, with my watch anyway. So yeah, crossing over the I'd probably say like as I was going into like the Bronx over Willis Ave Bridge, that's when it all began.
Yeah.
Because like First Ave, you know, I underestimated that like slight uphill. And also, I should add, I took like 2 Tramadol to like start the race.
What's that?
It's like an opioid of some kind.
Nice.
Just because I had some like groin issues going into the race. So like the 3 weeks going into the race, I didn't run. I ran probably like 30 miles. I was just doing like my long runs and cross training.
Okay.
So like those worked really well for like the first bit, but then like mile, whatever, I think it was like 18 to 21, my glutes started like locking up.
Oh man.
And then it was just like, just get to the finish.
And you think
like,
that?
I got past like 300 people probably. I
was just, oh really?
No one was cheering for me. I just felt like.
Like who's that guy?
I was dying. Yeah, it was embarrassing, but I made it.
What was your average pace?
What were you trying? 6:25 was the average in the end. But like the original goal was to run like average of 6 to get under 2:38, which would be like a PR.
Yeah.
So I was like on that, a little too fast at certain miles because Brooklyn was pretty hyped, so I got a little excited at points.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah,
it was a great atmosphere and a lot of like live bands, just great crowds.
Did you remember any specific songs? Like I remember at some point running through, I don't know where it was, like Bay Ridge or something, and there was some old man jam band, and as I was running by, I heard them playing Uncle John's Band.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it gave me a little burst.
Deep track.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing comes to mind. Like I remember enjoying some songs, but like my memory was wiped out those last 5 miles. Too much pain.
See, that's the downside.
Forget the race.
Yeah,
that's the downside. I've run it. Yeah. Like,
no, I was gonna say that's the downside of your 6 minute miles. If you were running 10 minute miles like me, you could hear the song.
That's what I mean. Yeah, yeah. Like you enjoyed it more. Like the journey.
I might have enjoyed it too much.
Nice. Did you take any like shots or drink any beers?
No, I definitely didn't do anything like that. I like tried to take it seriously. I just 2 marathons in a row, I just had too much left in the tank at the end. Like I finished and I was like, yeah, 4:19. But I was just like, I could go more.
Yeah, honestly. You said you ran with your wife, right?
Yeah, we set off together and we ran the first 18 together, and I just kept like slightly pulling away, and she's like, you're going real fast, and because usually we run together and she slows down at some point and I take off, but she wasn't actually slowing down, she was keeping a good pace for what she runs, and right around 18 I was like, I was like no, I'm gonna go. I'm feeling fast, and I think I ran the last 8 in like a 9:10 pace.
Sweet, sweet.
Nice.
It was fun. I had like the opposite personal experience in many ways. Sped up at the end and also opposite in that I was at the back of the pack.
Yeah, negative splitted though, you know.
So, that's cool, right?
Good way to do it, yeah.
Well, but it's funny because, yeah, you're talking about people blowing by you. Like, yeah, so I was so much farther back. I had like a different kind of runner, right? I had the kind of runner who gets into the 20s and maybe they're walking now, you know, or they're shuffling along, and I was just flying, and I was just running around people like I was skiing the slalom.
Oh wow, it must have been exhilarating.
It was cool. I was very excited.
Do you end up running like a decent amount more than 26 too, because you're like weaving all around people like crazy like that, or not really?
I think so. I had no like goal in mind, but according to my wife's watch, we ran the first half in 2:11, and then that's when I got the little idea in my head that like I could get under 4:20. Mm-hmm. But like that was 2:11 according to a watch, you know. On the course we hadn't run that far, you know.
And did she maintain a steady pace on her last 8? Did she like stay at what you guys did for 18?
Yeah, I think pretty close. Yeah.
So you made up like what, 20 minutes in the last 8 miles?
I ended up 11 minutes ahead of her.
11. Okay. That makes more sense. You're running like a minute per mile faster.
Yeah. Sweet.
A little bit more. Yeah.
I don't think I could do, Tim, I'm assuming you didn't take any shots.
No, I should have. I think those last. Yeah, my friend sent me a video of like this guy ran like 250, and he just like put back one of those like mini shot things, whatever, a shooter you call them, like a fireball, and he just like downed it, and this probably would have helped. Or if I had like stopped and just like stretched a little bit, or like took an Advil.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. Like I think if I could go back in time, probably would just like stop for a little bit, drink some water, and just like take an Advil, and then I would have like numbed my like my glutes a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it reminded me of like doing an ultra, where like one time I did like a 70-mile ultra. And at mile 50, I couldn't lift up my hips because like my hip flexors are so tight that I took an Aleve and like all that pain went away.
Yeah.
Which was like mystifying.
I was going to say the drink, like the alcohol offerings on course. I didn't know they did that at like regular marathons. That's kind of an ultra thing too.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. The ultra people are, I think, invading the serious world of road running.
The worlds are colliding.
Yeah, or maybe they all clash at the New York Marathon, perhaps, since there were 55,000 people running.
Yeah,
yeah. The craziest thing that made me think about that was you're not allowed to take like the running jacket, like backpacks or whatever you call them for fueling. But I saw some people like sneak them in still. But anyway, that reminded me at the starting line, there's like a guy who like has like. Pierce like kind of like pin piercings on his chest for his bib. He just like puts like the pins through his skin, and he wears like the bib on his skin.
Wow!
And this guy like went out like really fast. Like, and then someone found on my Instagram. I'd have to like look up his name. Probably could find it. But he has like 5 photos of him in like each race. He just has like those like pin piercings on his chest. And I don't know if he like has the pin in all the time, like as a piercing.
Yeah.
Like, or if he just like puts it in each time, but like we're talking about my friends, like his like risk of septic is probably pretty high if he's just like piercing himself each time.
Doesn't seem like the wisest way to wear a bib.
He sounds too punk rock for for the New York Marathon.
For real.
I think we want to cap there's a guy who juggles the whole time. We want to make him that's the ceiling. You can't be more punk rock than that guy.
Yeah. How many is he juggling?
3, but it's funny. I've seen him at New York Roadrunners races in like Central Park. And then we were running over, you know, the beginning of the race on the Verrazano Bridge and looked to our left and we're like, hey, it's the juggling guy. he was like in our corral.
Nice.
Wow. And to be.
That's how fast I am.
does he have to juggle continuously, or is it okay if he like drops it and can pick it up again? Like what kind of standard does he hold himself to?
You know, we should get him on here sometime and ask him.
We should, yeah.
I'll try to next time I see him at a Roadrunners race, approach him. Maybe I'll just ask him the question.
Yeah.
Could
yeah,
handle you your business either card.
Yeah. Maybe I'll just get a statement. Ask if he has any statement for the press, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. What happens if you drop a ball? I bet he just picks it up and keeps going.
Yes. I mean, Mike. I don't think he starts over.
Well, no, but like, is he DQ'd at that point? Like,
is that the race? Yeah. Yes. Maybe it's, I don't know. I'll ask him. we'll get to the bottom of this one. Not this episode, but soon. Tim, were you close to that guy who had a giant like filming crew near him that everybody's mad at?
Oh, Matt Choi.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a lot of friends who really hate Matt Choi as well. I'm not. I haven't really like looked at his work enough to really form a strong opinion.
Yeah.
But I might have been like at the beginning of the race, I heard some murmuring saying like, oh, the influencers over there. Like I didn't really like pay attention to it.
Yeah.
But there's a chance I was. Let's see what, you know, what time he ran.
I don't remember, but I feel like it was sub-3, but maybe not like way sub-3, you know? So maybe he was behind you. We're giving good coverage here. We have somebody who's running near Choi and somebody who's running near the old juggling guy. So we're covering the whole race, basically.
Yeah.
I don't know what goes on in between. And, you know, because plenty of people have covered the lead packs, right? And then there's plenty of beautiful, inspiring content about the last finishers.
Mm-hmm.
And those are both great. So we've got you know, hear two other selections from other places in the race.
Two other selections. But I mean, for, I think, Tim, I saw your post, if I read it correctly, you were in like the top 1,000 finishers.
Yeah, at 875.
That's amazing. And there are like 55,000 people.
Yeah, it was quite, thanks. Yeah, it was pretty solid to get under the 1,000 mark.
I guess. Do you know what? We could do some math. We could do some math about that.
What percentiles?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's see.
I think it's the top like half of a percentile.
We could also make it a mailbag question for our listeners. Once we asked a math question on the air, and I challenged my mother to write in with the correct answer. So maybe she could do that.
Yeah, that's some mental math for the real math quiz.
Might be a correction. Who knows? But yeah, I'm going to go with top 0.4%.
Top 0.4?
Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty good.
It's pretty close. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm going. I'm going with that too. We'll do the math next time. I'll do the long division.
We'll get it in the mailbag maybe. The other day at work we had this call and people like drop suggested songs into a playlist, and then the person who runs the meeting decides like which song to play, and I put Box of Rain in there. And
yeah.
And then at the start, because Phil Lesh recently passed, and the start of the meeting, it was like not Box of Rain that was playing. And so I put into the meeting chat, like, I was hoping for some Phil Lesh, like, who's with me? And on the 150 person meeting, like one person give me a like
nice
plus one.
So that's one out of 150.
Yeah, I guess that's another math problem.
Yeah, exactly. We're putting you in the 0.6 percentile of popularity in that meeting.
Yeah, it was a very unpopular comment, apparently.
You guys give me some good Grateful Dead songs to check out. Yeah, do you guys have like favorite versions of like live performances of those songs? Like, are you that deep into the Dead world?
I don't for those two songs. I might for other songs have favorite versions. For a while back in 2019, I heard a version of Saint Stephen. that I was like,
that song goes hard.
Yeah. It was like an old version. So definitely a 60s version that I was convinced was like the best version I'd ever heard. And I told Trevor about it and we tried to find it and like couldn't find it. And it led to us listening to like I think every Dead show from 1969, but we didn't find it, which actually probably means that we probably did find it and just not identify it correctly, you know?
Yeah.
They just sound so good the first time.
Yeah.
For me, like Box of Rain, it's not like a song that they really take out there live. So as far as the best versions, Phil like blew out his voice in the late 70s at some point and then started singing again, I don't know, at some point maybe in the 80s. So probably whatever the first Box of Rain back where he like had his like new like deeper Phil voice, like that's probably a cool one. And then any of the like 71, 72, when they were like writing those songs for American Beauty, like something acoustic around then, I bet is really nice. And as far as Uncle John's Band, yeah, it's kind of similar, but I'd put the early ones that like they started working on some of the chords out of like a Dark Star in like 1969 or something. It just like emerged out of a Dark Star, and then it eventually like morphed into Uncle John's Band a few like shows later. But those early, those first few like Uncle John's Bands, I'm gonna say those are my recommendations.
I might say my favorite Uncle John's Band would have been Phil Lesh and Friends, July 4th, 2006. Saratoga Performing Arts Center.
Oh, nice.
Which is a show we were at. And but I had to leave early. Nice. I think Trevor stuck around, right? But mm-hmm. I left early to drive home from Saratoga to Boston. And as we were walking to the car, they busted into Uncle John's band. And I could hear them playing it. It sounded really great. That was my favorite until 3 days ago, and now I would say my favorite is those old guys playing it along the marathon route.
Oh yeah, you can't beat that. It's passion right there.
It ruled. Did you have a favorite part of like the route to run along, as far as like seeing people and like you said, you got like that burst of energy?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't really know the Brooklyn neighborhoods too well, but there is like one point where I was running down Brooklyn, and there's like I was running towards a building.
Yeah.
And I just like looked up and just got kind of emotional, you know?
It's like,
you kind of start tearing sometimes. Like, yeah. I don't know, you just get overwhelmed by like all the positive energy out there, just everyone coming together and for one purpose and, you know, just enjoying the beautiful day out there, for, like whether you're running it or cheering on or, you know, or like I saw this one video of this guy just like, was running and then he hopped on the keyboard and started playing his insane piano solo.
I saw that.
Just seeing videos like that, you know, like yeah. just like running it and like just making it awesome.
Yeah.
So being yeah, no, mine's experience is kind of boring, you know, just running really hard and then hitting a wall. And then
that's the best kind of race.
Stumbling to the finish. Oh yeah, yeah. I got to the finish and then like I just kind of crawled over to like the curb. And like a helper comes over to me and it's like, are you okay? And I instantly start just like puking everywhere.
Nice.
And then I get up and I call my partner to see like where she's at to like, you know, just like come herd me and like find me. Yeah. And like I'm just like grunting responses and she's like, are you okay? And I was like, I don't think so. And then I said, I'll talk to you later. And then I saw like someone with a wheelchair and I just like walk over to the wheelchair and I sit down. And then perfect. She just pushed me to the medical tent and then they gave me some salt and like stretched out my my leg a little bit. So yeah, my point is, I guess they have really good volunteers. Very helpful. Yeah. And
it was amazing. Yeah. Well run. You're right. That's
yeah. I mean, logistically. That, yeah. Logistically. Yeah.
Like amazing, what you were saying about tearing up. I did that. I knew I would like at the end, of course, but like I was not expecting what happened, which was, they, you know, they shoot off the cannon for your wave to start and they start.
Yeah, the cannon.
It's so loud. It's terrifying. And but then they play, I don't know if they did it for your wave, but for my wave, they played New York, New York. And and I just teared up instantly. I'm like, not a good time to start losing hydration.
Right. That's crucial. A lot of salt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, salt too. But yeah, no, it was so special out there. Like you said, it was just so such a magical feeling.
Yeah, it's so beautiful running across of Arizona. Like, I'm usually terrified, like white knuckling across of Arizona because I'm terrified of heights.
Oh.
But like running, yeah, I just felt so at peace. Like, you go in the middle and I'm not afraid of the edges.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
See, I'm assuming you were on the top of the Arizona, but I got in one of the waves that they put on the bottom.
It's kind of luck of the draw because I heard some people like in some of the like later waves that got onto the top, but next year, you know, next time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. next year I'm one New York Roadrunners race away from qualifying for next year, so I should be back. But
nice. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
so you did it again.
I'm gonna do it. Yeah, I did Roadrunners again. Yeah.
Yeah,
like 9+1 twice.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
So I did 9+1 last year, and then I've done the marathon was my 8th race this year. So I just have, and all I have to do is a virtual 5K, which is going to be pretty easy to complete.
Yeah,
maybe I'll make that nice. some kind of speed run.
Yeah, you should try for a 5K PR.
Oh, that's a good idea. I'll head to the track.
Yeah,
I'll get serious. I'll put on my speed suit.
That'd be sweet.
So I think we got some listener mailbag at one point that some of our listeners actually prefer our stories of like our running adventures like gone awry, because we often like do not execute on our plans quite perfectly. So I think your story will resonate with the listening audience.
Well, the last time you were on, Tim, which was season 2, episode 11, I think that was one of our most popular episodes ever.
Mm-hmm. So,
and that one,
it
I don't
might still be. It yeah. might still be number one. Yeah.
And I don't think that even had any stories about things going wrong, and which is our most popular subject. So this one might be might double that in popularity.
Yeah. Yeah. You never know.
That theme kind of like came alive with special guest Jesse Chandler, one of our top favorite keyboardists from Denton, Texas. And I feel like he had some really like tough running adventures while on the road, sometimes often almost missing gigs.
Tim, last time you were on, which was 2 seasons ago, although only 1 year ago, but that's how we count around here.
I love it.
You had run 2 marathons. Did you do any in between Boston and New York?
No, but yeah, I was going to a lot of physical therapy, so I found like a good like running specific physical therapy like a town over from where I live in central New Jersey. So I was like kind of rebuilding my Achilles, getting stronger, and then I used the same training plan I used for Boston. It's like a Hanson's running plan, usually like the Hanson's running methodology, pretty much, pretty like bare bones.
Okay.
So I kind of just like jumped into that. And then, so like one of the tempo runs for that was a half marathon. It was the Empire Half that is put on through my running club, Garden State Track Club. It's over at Rockland Park near Nyack. So they actually ran a half marathon PR. They probably went like too far into the well, and that kind of what led me to like the injury scenarios.
Oh no!
Because I always end up running with these guys in the club who like are a lot faster than me, and I just like get a little crazy. Like my friends always look around and say I have like a Ferrari engine or some exotic, you know, European car maker. And like a Honda Civic body, you know, just very utilitarian, Japanese, reliable automobile.
Yeah.
But it just can't handle the power. Yeah, practical. Like I have a practical body.
Yep.
But like my aerobic capacity is just doesn't belong in this body.
Bo Jackson. When he was getting tackled, the reason he pulled his hip out of the socket was because he was being held really tightly, but he pulled it so hard. He pushed so hard that he just like yanked himself out with his own strength. Wow. Like, yeah, that was like, he didn't get, someone else didn't pull his hip out of the socket.
Was Bo Jackson the player who like was really good at baseball and football?
Yeah. Yeah. He was playing for the Oakland Raiders. He signed a contract with the Raiders. Oh my God. He was the best. He was the coolest. He signed a contract where he wouldn't have to start right until baseball season was over. Like he'd play like an 8-game season or something. But he was amazing. But anyway, I'm saying you're like that.
I wish. Wow.
Well, yeah, so be careful. It's also a cautionary tale, though, I suppose.
Yeah. So my plan now is just like hit the weight room. And like my powerlifting friend's going to write me a strength program. So start hitting the gym, start cranking the iron. And then I signed up for Berlin. Which occurs Oktoberfest in Germany, in Berlin, and so yeah, we'll see what goes on. See if I can get strong enough and train for that one. And that's a much flatter course.
Yeah.
So I'll probably aim high for that.
That's all. So that's next October.
Yeah, like end of September.
One a year.
I guess. Yeah, one a year. Still on that plan. That's good. The Brooklyn Half, the popular half. It's like another New York Roadrunners race.
Oh, yeah.
It ends at Coney Island. I think it's in May.
Yeah, I handed out medals at the finish once.
Sweet.
Yeah, I only know what the finish is like, but I recommend it. It was also seems like a pretty magical experience, at least as far as I could tell.
Yeah, someone was telling me it's like New York Roadrunners' like second most popular race after the New York City Marathon.
It was so many runners. Yeah. It's like working the, you know, the metal thing is kind of crazy, and it's like, it's a cool gig. Yeah, probably one of the more fun things I've done around a race, not in one. You have, yeah, it's good. You have a similar training thing I have. I have to also make my legs stronger. That's kind of one of my next goals, you know.
What's your favorite leg-centric exercise?
I don't know. I guess squatting, but like I got to do it more.
Nice.
Yeah, but that's, I got to get more into it. There was, so I was at the gym and there was a dude there trying to recruit, like a trainer trying to recruit people for personal training sessions. And he just like stopped me and he was like, how long do you think you can do a wall sit for, you know? And I saw where he was going. I could do a wall sit for a pretty long amount of time, but this was also like 2 days before the marathon. So I didn't want to like blow out my legs showing off to some dude in the gym. But so I just said 30, I said 30 seconds and he goes, and he's like, if you do 35, you win a prize. And I was like, okay. And so I did 35 and he was like, you win a free personal training session.
Wow. Was he a personal trainer?
Yeah, I hope so. And so he better be. We'll find out. So I'm going to go see him. I told him I'd see him after the marathon and we'll put together a leg day strengthening program that's good for distance running.
Nice.
Yeah.
Man, you're ready to go. Yeah. Yeah, when I chose to do my Boston build, I was like doing like 2 days a week of like pretty intense like Olympic lifts. So like squats, deadlifts, and like Bulgarian split squats are like my three main exercises.
Oh.
So I was like super sore. I was doing that on a Saturdays usually, and I was like super sore for my long run. But I think that really made the difference for like the hillier courses, where I didn't lift at all this training block, and I think my training suffered for that. So
wait, what was
for
that?
All the listeners, don't skip leg day.
Bulgarian, what was that?
Bulgarian split squats.
I don't know those. I guess I should.
It like targets your hip flexor.
Okay. I like those. I do those just like floor style though. I don't use weights. Like I'll do like a floor, like I don't know, like four or five exercises, like the reverse lunges, split squats, these like step up things, just that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like get those glutes and hip flexors, probably like the two most important muscles.
What's the one where you like are on one leg and you like grab something and then lift it up? It's like a like another one that hits like the glutes. Yeah.
Single leg RDL.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
I think I did like that one. I think I did that in physical therapy years ago when I was trying to save my like ridiculously bad back. Which has been fine though. So I credit
that's great.
Yeah, I credit marathon running for fixing my back.
Don't you do a lot of like Stairmasters, I remember you saying? Like,
I used to.
I think that probably would help fire those glutes.
So actually, I think, honestly, I used to think I could never run this far because I would just have too much knee pain and just like IT band issues, you know, just normal stuff. But I would always kind of hit a wall like at 10 or 11. And then I got obsessed with the Stairmaster. But I think like that, I can't remember how long that was, a year or two. I think that year or two, like, gave me a certain kind of leg strength. And then when I went back into getting obsessed with running, made my knees much stronger. And I didn't have knee pain because of that, I think.
There's a method to all the madness, you know? I believe now, like, that intuition training, you know, you just like listen to like what you need, you know, like you thought like, oh, Stairmaster, this will give me what I need.
Yeah.
No physical therapist will tell you that, but you know, cured your knee pain.
It worked. We're getting low on time, so I wanted to ask you a question that'll help me, which is how many days should I take off running after the marathon, and when can I run again?
Oh yeah, that's a great question. I was reading an article yesterday, trying to figure out like recovery techniques, and based on this article, she was saying definitely take off 3 to 7 days of no running, but some coaches will say 2 full weeks off.
Huh.
So I think it all depends how you are feeling right now.
Okay.
Like it seems like the marathon was kind of like more of a long run effort for you. You didn't really go to the well. So I'd probably say for you, like just take a week off, no running, maybe do some light stretching, some cross training to help with the lactic acid buildup. Like personally, I'm probably going to take like 2 weeks off.
Okay.
Tomorrow, I'm going to go to like a yin yoga class and like hold some like deep stretches for a while.
Nice.
But I'm going to try to get back on the saddle like quicker than previous training cycles because I find like if I just stop running after one of these like big efforts, I just like don't run that much and lose a lot of fitness. Mm-hmm. Where like you want to keep building off those training blocks if you want to like see your time drop.
I feel the same.
But, yeah, I'd say like a week. Yeah.
All right. I'm probably going to run tomorrow.
Yeah, might as well. Yeah. No, that some of my buddies are already running, you know. Like,
are they? Okay. No, I usually take a week, but like I figured three days off is enough.
Yeah.
I want to try to run Austin in February. That's my
Oh, nice. Yeah.
But so I figure I got to just start training right away almost right away if I do that.
Yeah. Just treat this as a workout, like this marathon as a workout since you kind of like you didn't crush yourself.
Yeah, I feel fine, but yeah.
And Tim, before we forget, would you also be able to say your name so we can splice it into the opening song and a little bit about yourself if you'd like?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Hey, everyone. My name's Tim. I enjoy running marathons in my free time. And when I'm not running marathons, I enjoy spending time outside and hanging out with my cat.
And we can see the cats in the Zoom chat. So, you know, the listeners will have to use their imagination, but that's the latest.
Yeah.
It's the latest in an episode we've ever actually remembered to ask someone to do the proper introduction of themselves, which we always almost forget. But this time we literally have 1 minute left in the episode right now. So
wonder if we could get a picture of the cat. I don't know. Is the cat nearby?
Yeah, how much time do we have?
52 seconds.
All right.
Okay.
This is timed, a dramatic ending.
Timed cat catch.
This is Pippin. He's a 4-year-old orange cat. He's like, we rescued him from a shelter, and he's like the best cat ever.
Right, oh, hey,
let's
Pippin.
Let's get a shot. Well,
I lived with a Pippin who could jump like 6 feet in the air. So it's a classic, awesome cat name.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
His hobbit tendencies.
Yep. Is this cat also named after the hobbit?
Yeah. I'd say so. Like, call him drinking out of the toilet.
Hey, we got 4 seconds
left. Hobbit would do.
Tim, thank you so much. This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour. Thanks so much, Tim. Thanks for joining us. That was awesome.
Yes. Thank you, Tim. I really enjoyed having you on. Thanks, Tim.
Yeah. Always good to have Tim come on and after a world major marathon. So who mm-hmm. knows, maybe we can have him on again after Berlin.
Yeah. Travel around the world with Tim, new segment, new special guest, sort of theme or narrative.
Yeah. Something to look forward to. And by the time he finally gets all seven mm-hmm. of the world majors, who knows how many world majors there will be by then. It could be like 35.
Well, he's just gonna have to keep going.
Yeah, he'll just you know, sleep in his own bed one night a year as he treks around to try to get to the 1,000 world marathon majors. Like, oh, sorry guys, I gotta go to Sheboygan.
Yeah
They just added it to the list.
We'll have to figure out how to start breaking up our seasons at that point too. We'll be well beyond the Buffy structure by then. So so your week in running was awesome. I had a bit of a resurgence of running, which has been really nice. Kind of feel back on track a little bit. And rebuilding, definitely got lost a lot of fitness, but you know, post procedure and being out and just a couple of rough weeks of running, but kind of feel like I'm back at it a bit.
That's amazing to hear. And yeah, I know we talked a little bit on there about losing fitness, but also just as a word of encouragement, it comes back pretty quick as well.
It comes back. Yeah. I've been running just short, whatever I can, you know, just get out there.
That's amazing. Congratulations to you on a weekend running.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Well,
I'm still putting up the week in running, you know, still, uh, still chipping away at it. So I think I'm going to end with a pretty solid week in running. I'm feeling good about it.
We're in the middle of the week in running.
Yeah.
Right now we're
this,
at an
this particular week in running I'm talking about now. Yeah.
We're at an aid station, or you're taking a fireball shot in the middle of the week in running right now.
That's right. Yeah. It's a little bit different, I guess, than how we usually do week in running, but yeah. So, a race coming up too. It's the next in the sort of the Krampus sub ultra backyard or backyard sub ultra, whatever you want to call it. This Saturday. So racing against coach friend and a non-listener, and should be a good time. Another 4-hour format. See how many 2.5K loops I can do, which I think is going to be like not very many. I think I'm going to do a little sitting in between. Probably some maybe walk a lap here or there. So
okay, 4 hours. Yeah, I guess I was going to first ask, you think you could do 26.2, but you're just getting back into running, so you probably
not,
can't.
Yeah, not in my current shape now.
I can't wait to find out how far you
building
get,
up. Though. I was in much better shape for Krampus Classic. I was able to run, you know, pretty much. We had like sort of roughly 10 to 20 minute breaks built in because there were two runners on course at all time. Okay. So that one you had little like sort of rest breaks, but I ran pretty much continuously when I was on course. But this time around, I'm just not in shape to do that. So I think the strategy is going to be to sit a little bit, maximize sort of the enjoyment factor, not push too hard. You know, get a few miles in, feel good about it.
That sounds great. What shoes are you wearing?
Oh, so maybe my current Hoka Challenger 7 is probably like the obvious choice, but there is a gear shed coming in the mail tomorrow. It arrives tomorrow from runningwarehouse.com.
Oh, I love runningwarehouse.com. Future sponsor.
They make the exchanges so easy. So yeah, I ordered a whole gear shed worth of shoes, three pair, and I plan to just keep one.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's intended to be a winter running shoe. So
can't wait to hear about it.
Happy to preview it, or we can just go there next week. Whatever's best.
Let's do it next week when you've run in them, I think.
All right.
Imagine if we got Running Warehouse as a sponsor. Like, I don't think I could possibly buy any more running shoes than I already do, but it would probably be good for my bank account if I didn't have to pay for them.
Yeah, I'm not sure we'd get that type of sponsorship, but we can try. I mean, it all starts with a little outbound mailbag usually.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you know what, or maybe like a specific sponsorship from a lesser known running shoe, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I put on a pair of Diadora running shoes once.
Oh.
No good. not good. I was at a running shoe store in Gainesville, Florida, waiting for my sister to show up. And I was running the little track in the store, and I was like, how about these? And they weren't cheap or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they weren't good. And, but if they want to sponsor us, I will run exclusively in Diadora running shoes.
You sure you want to do that?
I don't know. Well, I've made the claim. So if they hear this, I'll honor it. But if I won't push it too hard.
That's good. I'm trying to think of some other, like, I don't know. Oh, one of the pairs is, I think, a popular road running shoe, but less popular, less. You see it much less on the trails, which is I'm trying an Asics.
Ooh,
as one of the three. So
is it a gel?
Just interested. I think technically maybe some sort.
That's cool.
I don't think it has that in its name, but I don't know. I guess.
Yeah, they don't know how to not put the gel in the shoe.
Yeah,
they're like, you're gonna want some gel in there.
Yeah,
I it's like a serious shoe, but I remember when I was a kid, I thought all these shoe things were gimmicks. You know. Like, because there was Nike Air and Reebok Pump, and then Asics Gel seemed like, like what, you know? Like, they're just like, you know what I mean? It was like they were almost like, yeah, the Asics Gel, and then like the E-Tonic whipped cream packet, like shoved under the, you're like, no, we don't need all that. But it turns out that's probably the most enduring one, is the Asics Gel.
Yeah. I guess out of that line, yeah, probably.
Like, I think Nike Air is still a thing, right? Maybe.
I mean, definitely as like a people wear like the old Nike Airs or like the Nike Air style as like a streetwear thing.
But as technical footwear, maybe it's less of a thing.
I don't think, yeah, I think most of their running shoes have like the what is it, the PV foam, like there's like a high performance like foam that a lot of the like running shoes companies use now.
And now they got, yeah, I want carbon plates.
They all have like their own different versions. Yeah, different plating, carbon, plastic, like just foam,
I
big
was looking.
stack, small, you know, like shoe, like I don't know, you know, they just all
Yeah.
like throw their own versions of it out there.
I was looking at my shoe kind of closely for the first time in a while when I had like when I was at the end of the taper and everything to do. I was looking at my shoe and I was like, look at this thing. I was like looking at the big I don't know, the big foamy part under your heel. I'm like, that's
Yeah.
pretty big. I was like
And
noticing it.
to be clear, these are the Saucony
Yeah.
Endorphin. Yeah.
Endorphin 4 speeds, which were amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah, the firmest, fastest shoe I've run this distance in. First time in a while that like my feet hurt at the end, but not, you know, not that much. And they felt fine the next day. So that's probably the,
Nice.
yeah, that's not too much hurt. I'm gonna keep running these for a little bit, but I gotta figure out what to run in next. Maybe I'll find out what who won the New York Marathon. See, this is the first year I
I
couldn't
don't
watch
know.
it because I was in the back in the cell phone no work zone, just laying down at the starting line. I did have a fun pre-start routine, which I think was me and our very own female gear shed testing correspondent spending the night before the race, both unable to sleep, basically.
Yeah.
But it didn't seem to affect me. I felt pretty good the next day.
I guess the time change, like, well, I hate the time change, but I guess theoretically it might help you in this situation.
It should have. Yeah, I woke up at 6:30 to catch a 7:30 ferry to Staten Island. That's not bad actually. Like, 'cause people talk about how early you have to get up for the marathon. Like 6:30 is not a big
That's
deal,
not bad.
especially with daylight savings. It's not bad at all. But if you don't sleep, it kind of cancels out the benefit of not having to wake up that early. Well, anyway, New York Marathon's great. It's you mostly just run in 2 boroughs. You mostly just run in Brooklyn and Manhattan. You just like, yeah, you run like a mile in each of the others. But yeah, very inspiring. Nice to see everybody out there. I highly recommend it if anyone ever gets the opportunity. I wasn't sure if I'd like it as much as I did, you
But you
know.
did.
Yeah, I loved it. It was the best day of my life. I thought it was like maybe too big, and so you know, all that would make it just like a hassle, you know. But it was like amazingly well done. Super, you know, super efficient. It all worked. It never got like crowded or jammed anywhere. The shuttle buses were amazing. The way they got the people off the starting line was great. The way they got me crying by playing Frank Sinatra was great. Yeah, no, the whole thing, the water tables, they didn't run out of water like the Providence Marathon. You know, the whole thing was just good. Running in the park was like thrilling, you know.
Yeah,
So
that's awesome. Oh, that's amazing. Congrats.
thanks, thank you. And yeah, as we look forward towards 2025, I know we did say we'd get you out on a road marathon in 2025, so
No, I remember you. You reminded me of that. Some other episode too.
we could talk about that at a future episode. We don't have to talk about that now, mid first week in running back in a while, you know.
First solid week in running back.
Yeah.
I need to give that some time, but that would be awesome.
Yeah. If not, there's always 2026.
We were talking about, like, I don't know, Pittsburgh or something, whatever that
True. I got my eye on Austin now.
is. Nice.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. I'm getting crazy thoughts. I'm thinking Austin in February, kind of thinking the Manitoba Marathon in June, and then I'll
Nice.
New York again. But we'll see. Let's not get crazy. But all right. Well, is there anything else we need to cover here?
I don't think so. We were supposed to do a song of the week. I guess we'll do that next time.
Yeah.
Because we don't have one.
No, because I never picked one and told you. But I'll try one out tomorrow on my first run back. I'm gonna go on the treadmill tomorrow, just real easy, see how it feels. So maybe I'll spin some songs on there and pick one as well.
Yeah, maybe I'll see if I can find that Uncle John's band Coming Out of the Dark Star. I'll send you that. You can splice a little bit in.
Perfect. The people want to hear that, and they want to hear if it runs or not. So I think it's worth following up on.
Oh yeah, no, it runs. Definitely runs. Yeah, I guess until next time,
onward. Special guest
Pippin.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour, and I bid you good night, good night, good night. Walking in Jerusalem just like John. Good night, good night, good night. I'll remember right away. Remember right away. Good night, good night. Is right, shall comfort me. Good night, good night. Tell me upon the arm that wonderful bow. Good night, good night. Let it be for the beast at the end of the wood. Good night, good night. Good to eat all the children. Would not be good. Good night. Good night. Well, that rod of stuff shall comfort me. Good night. Good night. Good night.